Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and former YouTube sensations ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of this podcast, a writer for Last Week Tonight, the author of How to Fight Presidents, and a guy who is curious about kimonos but too terrified to get one because what if he likes it, Daniel O'Brien. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, make like 2014's Great Big World featuring Christina Aguilera hit and say something.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a co-producer at American Dad, co-producer of Two Small Children, and a guy who did clapping push-ups his first day at a TV's writer's room, though he was not asked to do that by anyone.
I'm going to need a little bit more context on that.
My first day... So at some point, I'll be ready to talk on this podcast about how humiliating... like my first 4 months of my job were. how like crazy guns blazing I came out of the gates, how desperate I was to be like part of the gang and make friends there in a way that like even now when I lie awake at night and those memories come back to me, I have to make an auditory noise. I go like, oh God. I don't know how it came up. Somebody was talking about workouts, and I was like, yeah, here's I know this is my wheelhouse. And so I started talking to them, and then I don't even think clapping push-ups came up, but push-ups might have come up, at which point I got down and showed my push-up and then did a little clap push-up too, for no reason, just to be like, and I can do this. Like, maybe this will be a conversation starter.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was brutal, man.
So out of character for you.
I was so desperate early on. And it wasn't even just like a desperation of like, let me keep this job. It was a desperation of everybody there was good friends already. And their jokes were so funny. And like they had inside jokes that I didn't know yet too, that I was like curious about. And I was like, you know what I'm really good at? It's just like sliding into casual good conversation with people. But that shit does not play when everybody else knows each other and you don't. When it's a bunch of people who don't know each other, they're sort of relieved to have somebody who's there who's like willing to make some mistakes. But
right, but when you're the new guy in an established group, there's almost a sense of like, do we really need another one?
Right.
And you're there like juggling on a unicycle, like, I'll be this guy.
It's your job.
Do you have one of these?
It's your job to like hang back and just eventually kind of like every once in a while, like, chime in and prove yourself. Don't come out just with everything you've got at once. Throw it all at the wall and be like, eh? You guys like any of those things? No, that's fine. I've got six others right here. It's rough. I'll talk about it at some point. But there are, like, some real circumstances that I look back on. I was like, who was that guy?
I think we'll probably do an entire episode about that because I had a similar experience. Not doing clap push-ups or, like, trying to be very impressive right out the gate when I started my job, but certainly it's a period of my professional life that I don't look back on with fondness, especially where I am now. And like, I talk to my current coworkers and I just think like please don't ever bring up what I was like.
Yeah,
I think about I can't handle it. I would have to leave if you told the new people what I was like when I started here.
Right. Obviously, there's chemistry in the room is very important. In a writer's room is very important. But not that important, obviously, because they let me stay. And I'm so thankful. Every time I think about my first season, I'm like, oh, God, I'm so lucky that they let me stick around.
Thanks to Postmates for supporting Quick Question. Postmates isn't just all burgers and sushi. I can order anything from toilet paper to phone chargers from stores like Walgreens and 7-Eleven, and a Postmate will drop it off right outside my front door. Download the Postmates app and use code QQ.
This episode of Quick Question is sponsored by Skillshare. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity. Be one of the first 1,000 people to use our link, and you'll get a free trial of Skillshare Premium membership at skillshare.com/QQ, the number 2. Skillshare.com/QQ, and then the number 2.
Well, let's get into the show. Oh, no, we're not going to get into the show. This is normally when we talk about quarantine, COVID, all that kind of stuff. But I think based on when we're recording this, we should, instead of talking about COVID, talk about another major thing that's happened in all of our lives. Soren, as we record this, it's a few days after the election was called for Joe Biden.
That's right.
What was it? Oh, I expected you to be more excited about that, but go on.
I'm pretty bummed out that that everyone in the Republican Party refuses to acknowledge that he's president.
Oh, I see.
And I'm getting a little nervous about it. I'm like listening to Mike Pompeo be like, oh, the transition to Trump's second term is going to be very smooth and seamless. I'm like, oh, fuck. They're going to try and steal this. And it's like a real legitimate effort to steal it.
This podcast has a stated goal of not getting too political.
I'm surprised you brought this up.
I don't. Yeah, well, I'll get to why. I don't, for the record, actually think that they're going to try to steal this election. I think they are, what they do by doing a lot of these lawsuits and pushing this as far as they could possibly go, is they're getting a lot of people to donate to Donald Trump and the RNC, which money that could then be funneled into the runoff election in Georgia with Ossoff and Reverend Warnock. And that's, I really think that that's the entire stated goal of this, is like enrich Trump and enrich the party so we can get this other election squared away. Meanwhile, everyone knows that Trump lost and will leave at some point.
But that's so short-sighted and detrimental to the democratic system, because there are a lot of people who are listening to the Republicans and being like, yeah, he shouldn't be president. And it's sort of like deteriorating the faith that people have in our system of government.
Yeah, it's very bad, but we won't talk about that. I wanted to talk about where you were and what you were doing when you found out.
Okay, so
on Saturday?
Yeah. I am famously in Tucson right now.
Oh, yeah.
I came here for my wife's mother's 70th birthday. It's just a little tiny super spreader event we were planning on doing. And so I've just been checking my phone nonstop because I'm sitting around a house most of the day. And I think I was in their guest bedroom with my daughter while she was sleeping when I saw the news break on Twitter. And it'd been something I'd been waiting for a very long time. So it didn't have the same sort of power as it would have if it was a surprise or it happened that night. Like, I had been checking my phone for three or four days.
Yeah.
And then finally it came and I was like, finally, and then went and told them.
Was there, did you go outside around Tucson at all?
I know what you're getting at. So yeah, I'm not in a metropolitan area. I'm also, they live in the boonies of Tucson too. So there were no wild celebrations happening outside. People firing guns in the air or anything like that. Yeah. Although Arizona really pulled through, maybe.
Yeah, I was very excited. I was working because we film our show on Saturdays now. And I was on like a Slack call with all of the writers. And we're all sitting there talking and doing our jokes. And at one point, I sit in my apartment with my back to my window, which I had open. And I just heard a bunch of screaming. And I said on the call, I was like, hey, does anyone else in New York hear screaming? Which, like, the way things shook out is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because we were screaming out of celebration. Those would have been very different famous last words if people were screaming for a different reason.
Yeah. Just multiple people out in the street screaming is a terrifying prospect, especially in New York, I'd assume.
Yeah. But then I went out and I did like a lap around my apartment building, and there's just like people out screaming and hooting and hollering and like, you know, people doing like woos and Joe Biden wins chants and stuff like that. But also a lot of people who were just like making pure animalistic, just like, ah, just like it's cathartic. I need to make noises. A sound right now.
And what noises did you make?
I just clapped. I think we've talked about this before. Yeah, I'm not. I don't have a good. I feel very self-conscious when I'm chanting, and like, and cheering for things. So I just sort of like clapped when other people were clapping and like waved at people and was like, yeah, we did it. Because even when I was at my like most inspired, when I was doing like the Women's March in LA and people were like, this is what democracy looks like. I was like, this is what democracy looks like. Like I can't take myself seriously when I chant. So I steer it into a joke.
Yes. I do the same thing in big groups like that. The only time that I can do it genuinely, and it really feels like it's coming from my heart, is during sporting events.
Mm.
And I don't know if you remember when we watched the Giants win the Super Bowl together against the undefeated Patriots
mm-hmm.
long ago. And
uh-huh.
I did a lot of
cheering. I mean, I do not remember what you did.
I did a lot of cheering for your team.
Thank you.
Did some like genuine cheering for your team. Because it was similar to a Trump situation where, like, I hated the opponent. And I wanted to see them lose badly. And it was felt... And then I could, you know, also help out my buddy, too. And I didn't know if my cheering helped you feel better. But obviously, you don't remember it at all. So
I was so deliriously happy. I'm sure it felt good at the time. But I was... this was at my apartment. And we had, like, a very... like strong Patriots advocate there, our friend Brian.
Oh yeah.
So it was like it wasn't just like a casual here's a bunch of weird internet comedy dorks watching football together. It was like, no, this is me versus Brian.
Right.
And so I'm sure at the time I felt your support, but when I look back, all I remember is the Giants winning and then me dry humping the back of Brian's head in a celebration that like doesn't really make any kind of sexual sense.
Yeah. So I'm sure he appreciated that.
If you're like me, you start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, but sometimes getting into my kitchen and cooking something delicious to eat just doesn't make it on my to-do list, which is why I have been loving Postmates. Full disclosure, while we're recording this, I am at this moment ordering Postmates because we record during my dinner time, so I didn't have time to cook, and I'm so thankful that I have Postmates to deliver me a nice burger right now. But with Postmates, you can get food delivered without leaving the house or even opening your front door. With the current state of the world in mind, Postmates created no-contact deliveries. So now, when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left on my doorstep, and the app lets me know when it's been delivered. Postmates also offers a pickup option, which I have been using to order takeout from my favorite local restaurants. Shout out, Usia! It's so important that we support and uplift our communities right now, and what better way than ordering food? And Postmates isn't all just burgers and sushi, baby! I can order anything, from toilet paper to phone chargers from stores like Walgreens and 7-Eleven. Heard of them? And a Postmate will drop it off right outside my front door. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $5 off your first 5 orders for your first 7 days. To save $5 on your first 5 deliveries, download the app and use code QQ. That's code QQ for $5 off your first 5 orders when you download the Postmates app or sign up online. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. But let's get into the show, I guess, where we ask each other questions and give each other answers. I had a quick question for you, Soren.
Shoot.
So, we've already talked previously about pieces of pop culture that we loved when we were younger that we've come to be embarrassed by over time.
Yeah.
And, like, I know I talked about Garden State, and I kind of wanted to try the opposite of that. Something, a movie or a song or a piece of pop culture that you saw or consumed and initially hated, but then revisited and really enjoyed. Do you have one, or do you want to?
Yeah, no, I can go first.
Okay.
Are you familiar with a little band called Huey Lewis and the News?
I am. Hip to be square.
Yes. Need a new drug, or got a new drug? I mean, He's somebody who was sort of a joke when I remember when I was a kid, even as a child, when you're kind of catching on to how. Like the pulse of pop culture and how people feel about certain things. And yeah. Hit to Be Square is a pretty geeky fucking song.
Yeah, it's funny that like a title that sounds like it couldn't work in any era.
Yeah, it does.
Like by design.
It's the antithesis to rock and roll.
Yeah.
And this guy is putting it in a rock and roll song. They always seemed like such a joke to me. And I thought he was such a weird, hairy joke too. And then just to like playing around, I listened to the song when I was making a video. My friends and I used to make snowboard videos. And I was making a video and I was like, oh, it'd be really funny to have it be to hip to be square. And I was listening to the song and I was like, oh shit, this song rocks. Like, this song is really good. And started to really enjoy it. And then I heard Got a New Drug. Is it called Got a New Drug? Is that what it's called?
I thought it was Need a New Drug.
Maybe it is Need a New Drug. I Want a New Drug. That's what it is.
Want a New Drug. Okay.
Want a New Drug came on at the grocery store once. And I was listening to it, and like I usually do when I hear just the verse before the chorus, I'm like, fuck yeah, what is this song? And then I realized that I was like, what is this 80s song gem that I've missed out on? And then I realized it was I Need a New Drug. And I was like, oh, this is Huey Lewis in the News. Are they good? And then I started listening to them more and more. And I think that they're good. I think he's got a great voice.
Very good.
What'd you say?
I think they're very good.
Yeah, they're crazy. And so much so that now I've got, based on your recommendation, I created basically a Songs That Go, my version of a Songs That Go mix. And he's on there a lot, man.
I think lyrically they're not great, but I do think all of their songs get me pretty pumped up.
His voice is really great too. It's very unique. Yeah. I don't know. I'm into it.
Yeah. I think about Power of Love a whole lot, which is a song that I can't think about the lyrics if I because if I do for too long, then I hate it. Like, I just want the feeling of the song, because when you think about the lyrics, first time you feel it, it might make you sad. Next time you feel it, it might make you mad. That's like, go back to the fucking lab, Huey.
Yeah.
Open up Rhyme Zone again.
Well, but you have to remember he was doing this before Rhyme Zone, Dan. So
that's right.
Pretty remarkable what he was capable of. The Shakespeare of the 90s.
I think ours are similar. I've just heard your pick for the first time right now, so I haven't formulated this completely, but I do think there's something similar about them. Mine is the movie Avatar, and there's a lot of context required. But before that, did you like Avatar? Did you and do you like Avatar? Two questions.
Okay, this is a movie I saw once and got a headache while I was watching.
Okay.
So I didn't like it at the time, and I thought it was kind of a bullshit narrative because it's The Last Samurai, it's Dances with Wolves, it's The Last Samurai, Shogun, the book Shogun, and Pocahontas. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the story that's been told 100 times, and there was nothing really new to it other than, hey, I'm going to make a movie based on a template you already understand, but I'm going to make it look fucking rad. And the look fucking rad part made my head hurt. So okay. I didn't dig it.
That's a very specific experience. But for me, when I first saw it, I saw it when it came out in theaters, and I went in there wanting to hate it. Like, all of the reviews, like professional reviews and just the ones that came from friends of mine who had seen it, were like, it's amazing, it's beautiful, I've never seen anything like it before. I mean, just as you're saying, the writing, the characters, the plot, eh. But it's an experience. You got to see it. And I was a young, like, stupid writer who cared about writing and characters and plot. And I wanted people to know that because I connected that with me being smarter. So I went into that movie with my arms crossed, like, this better be good. And then was not charmed by the movie and was thrilled to shit on it afterwards. Like, nothing original in this plot. Everyone's name is stupid. The main character is nothing. Sure, it looks and feels cool, but, like, so do roller coasters, and roller coasters aren't movies. I'm smart. And, like, I really felt that at the time. I wasn't just trying to be contrarian. I genuinely didn't enjoy watching that movie. And then I decided to revisit it, which also requires context, because at this point in time, the general consensus seems to have shifted against Avatar. There are, like, famous articles about how a decade after it came out, Avatar had left no pop cultural footprint, and every once in a while someone likes to tweet out that they can't even remember a single character's name from the movie 10 years later. So I decided that I was going to love Avatar at work purely as a bit. Like, a coworker mentioned Avatar being bad, and I was bored. so I chose to defend it briefly. And then after work, I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I was really into Avatar in 2020? Because, Soren, I can't stop doing bits, even if those bits are for no one. And then I realized that committing to the bit meant I should probably rewatch the movie for the first time since it came out so I could refamiliarize myself with it because I don't know how to half commit to a bit. So I rewatched it for research purposes because specifics help sell bits, but it's great fun. It's beautiful, of course, but it's also so much fucking fun. It's just a big, dumb, enjoyable action adventure movie featuring a brand new world and cool locations and monsters.
I really hope that you watched it in segments on YouTube on your phone.
No, it's on it's on Disney Plus. So you can watch it on Disney Plus. So I watched it on, like, not how James Cameron wanted it, but I watched it on, like, a screen.
You might be the only person in history to, like, have watched it in theaters and been like, meh, and then watched it at home. You're like, yes, this is how this was meant to be enjoyed.
With, like, the glare of the sun from my window sort of obscuring part of the screen.
Yeah. Just with those little when your internet lags on Disney Plus, you, like, it, all it does is the screen freezes for a little bit and the dialogue continues and then catches up.
Yeah. I don't care. It's still great.
Wow.
It's also funny. There's, like, so when Jake Sully is first exploring the jungles of Pandora in his avatar, he's wandering by himself and sees a weird plant. So he just, like, swats it. And then when he does that, the plant lights up and then shrivels away. And then he just bounds through the jungle just swatting shit and watching it shrivel. Just a fucking child trotting around a jungle, touching stuff to see what it does. And it's so funny to me because it's very relatable to me, because all the other avatars are like scientists trying to respectfully learn things, and he's like, what happens if I swat this? What happens if I poke this? Can I shoot that thing? Can I eat that thing? How do we fuck here? Fill me in. It's the ponytails, right? Ah, sick. Cool.
I knew it was the ponytails. I gotta do it under a tree. I see. Okay.
Yeah. This is the Tree of Souls. Okay, do I fuck the Tree of Souls? Yeah. You don't fuck that. Well, you kind of fuck the Tree of Souls. Nah, all right.
Listen, I'm gonna be plugging my ponytail into a lot of things.
And, like, it's a thing that it really started as a bit for me, but now I genuinely feel like I was too hard on Avatar. Maybe it's because I've lived through the last 12 years since it's come out, and age has softened me, and also, like, the real world has gotten worse, so I appreciate an escape into Pandora and the wonderful floating Hallelujah Mountains.
Pandora, where I can ride on a banshee. Character. That's right. Okay.
Pandora is not the name of the. Okay.
Exploring inside Pandora. I thought that would be funny, so I did that one.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just, like, I'm clearly on edge and very defensive of Avatar now,
for no reason other than that you forced it on yourself.
Yeah. But it's good, and I can't wait for the next four fucking sequels whenever they come out.
Oh, right. I forgot that they're making 100 movies after it.
Yeah, there's one that's going to take place, like, underwater. Can you think of anything better? Nope. Nope. James Cameron doing an Avatar movie underwater? Nope. Nothing better.
He's famously good at underwater movies.
Yeah. He almost killed Ed Harris, but who cares? He didn't.
Yeah. Well, I gotta rewatch it then, because I do have Disney Plus. The thing I'm lacking, though, is time. I might be able to have to do it in installments. Do you think I could still follow the cryptic plot?
Absolutely. I mean, it is about 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, it's very long. Do they still do that with 3D? I haven't been to a movie in a very long time. You still have to wear, like, ski goggles to go see a 3D movie?
What? I watched this at home. What are you talking about? I haven't been to a movie theater since February.
Sorry. I this was not a jump from A to B and A. It was an A to C jump. I was just recalling what it was like going to the theater and why I hated this movie so much. And then I thought, are people still doing that? And then I thought,
oh, you haven't been to a 3D movie since 2008?
Yeah. That's the only 3D movie I've ever been to.
Oh. Yeah, they you wear, like, Men in Black sunglasses.
Oh, that's way better. And there were sunglasses that somebody else has worn, though?
No.
Ooh.
I mean, allegedly, no.
Ooh.
You get it in a little plastic thing.
Okay. Seven years from now, I might go see one. Thanks to Skillshare for sponsoring this podcast. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. You can explore new classes and deepen existing passions and just get lost in creativity. Skillshare offers classes for real life and all the circumstances that come with it. These lessons can help you stay inspired, express yourself, and introduce you to a community of millions. You can find things to do on Skillshare that you've been thinking about doing for a long time. Projects in your house that you've thought, I'm just never going to be good at this, or I'll never get this done. I guarantee you Skillshare has a class on it, and you can go take it. Skillshare offers memberships with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Members get unlimited access to thousands of inspiring classes, and I will be honest, they are very inspiring, with hands-on projects and feedback from communities of millions. There's a new one, Daniel, called Plants at Home, Uplift Your Spirit and Your Space. And I thought, I'm killing a lot of plants lately. Maybe they can help me.
Yeah.
I was very excited to learn about gardening through Skillshare. It turns out this is more about plants in your home, but as a testament to Skillshare, I watched all the videos anyway. I have like three plants in my house, and it made me think I'm doing it wrong. Like, there are so many better ways I can use plants, better plants that I could get for my house that would really just uplift the entire space. And the best part is that most classes are under 60 minutes with short lessons to fit any schedule. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to the pricey in-person classes and workshops. I don't know if you've ever considered the possibility of getting an interior designer just to come look at your house. It's very expensive, Daniel.
I've not considered that.
I noticed. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month.
Whoa.
I know. So explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ2. And the first 1,000 people to use our link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium membership. Receive free access to thousands of classes for a limited time. Be one of the first 1,000 to sign up at skillshare.com/QQ2. Dan, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I want to know, what's the most out of character thing that you've ever done? We mentioned earlier that that was very out of character for me to be such a tryhard at the first day of my job. But I want to know something that was so off brand that it even surprised you when you did it. And I can go first if you want.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. It may surprise you to know that I tried to start a fight at an intramural softball game when we both worked at Demand Media.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We Rich Curris was a guy that we both worked with, and he and his buddies had a softball team, and they were short, and they asked me to fill in one night. I did. They liked me enough that they were like, will you play with us? And I said, yes, absolutely. I'm looking for things like this, because it was a time in my life when I had nothing but time. Hmm. And we were playing a game. I didn't like this guy on the other team. He was just kind of being an asshole for most of the game. And something happened to me. First of all, I get very competitive when I play sports of any kind. That includes like cornhole and things where I should not be competitive at all. And he yelled at the ump at one point. Everybody calls the ump Blue when you play intramural softball. He yelled at him because he couldn't hear his call. He couldn't hear that there was a strike called. And he's like, well, shout it out, Blue. I can't hear you. And then this guy, a couple innings later, hit a ground ball to me. I threw it to first. He was out. The ump called him out. And I said, did you hear that? I shouted that at him. And he got very upset immediately. And that got me very excited, and because I was having such a reaction on this band that I hated, and the ref started to laugh a little, the ump started to laugh a little, and that got him really furious. And he started charging towards me, and I threw my glove down, and I started saying things like "You want a piece of me?" like things you would hear in a kids' movie from the 90s.
Right.
My only context for how to fight, and went to go try and fight this guy, and benches cleared, but they didn't come out to fight. They just came out to like push us away, because they're like, what is going on? Yeah. Like both sides were bewildered by what was happening, by the fact that either one of us would be this upset at the other one, because we've never met before. And it's just throughout innings, I had been basically building up that this guy was a bad guy in my mind, and was just like, I was out there, I was playing a sport, I was ready to engage with somebody, and I was like, I think I could fight him. I think I'm ready to fight this guy, and tried to.
Do you think what like if people didn't step in, you would have fought that guy?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think you would have won?
No, probably not. Okay. Everybody else has a lot more experience with fighting. Even people who are deceptively not that strong, are deceptively strong. I mean, I don't have. I've never like punched somebody in the face, really.
Yeah. Did you know? So when was the reckoning? So you got separated from this guy.
Yeah.
And then did Rich or someone else on your team sit you down and be like, "Hey, do you need to talk?" Or was it like just like purely an like a mental thing where you on the drive home, you're like, "Hey, that wasn't me."
Yeah, it was. In fact, it wasn't even the drive home. I was still buzzing a little bit. I was pretty pumped. And then it was later that I felt really stupid. But I've been involved in fights before. I've never punched somebody in the face in earnest because I'm terrified of it. I'm terrified both of like hurting somebody, but also I see stories about people hitting people in the teeth and like getting their having to get stitches in their wrists and in their knuckles and everything. And infections. So the idea of a fight is pretty terrifying. But I was like, I think this is just going to be the one. I think I could do it. If I just put everything into it, I think I want to fight this guy. And the other people on the team pulled us apart and then just acted like that was just what happens sometimes in sports. They were like, they didn't try and sit me down. They weren't like, they didn't pull me from the game or anything like that. They're just like, all right, let's just get back to it. Let's get back to it. And that was the end of it. And then I was buzzing afterwards. And then once you feel any other emotion after that, like you're watching a sitcom later and you feel a completely different way and you look back on it and you're no longer drunk on that energy. I was like, oh no. Oh, that's not me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad we didn't fight.
I should call that guy and I should cook him something. I should let him know I'm not like this.
I'm sure he's not a bad guy either. Oh God, I felt really terrible.
Yeah. I have a fight one too. I have two actually. I have like a big one, which is a fight one, and a smaller one. Like the small obvious things that come to mind involve any time that I've like talked to women that I don't know. Like I'll look back at my younger and more vulnerable days at times when I approached and asked out a woman at a bar or a party. I think about those things and I'm like, who the fuck was that guy? Get out of here. What are you confident about? Like, I remember being at college parties and asking a girl for her number under no pretenses other than like, I'm going to use this to ask you out. And like, I can't even put myself in the head of that guy who thought that was a good idea. It's an out-of-body experience for me. Like, confidence, you would say. But the bigger one and the fightier one is, this was back in my old apartment in Westwood, Los Angeles. I was walking, it was late at night, I was exhausted, and I was walking back through my garage into the door that leads to the elevator, and there are a bunch of cars around. It's probably 11:30, and again, exhausted, tired, probably in a bad mood. And then just as I'm about to get to the door, a car honks and I'm startled. Like my hackles are up because it's even louder because A, the car is right next to me and B, we're in an enclosed space. It's a garage. So it's like loud and echoey and someone just honked at me and I immediately turn, go, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? and I stare at this car and a guy I've never seen before gets out of this car and I go, what the fuck, man? He's like 50 years old or something like that. And he goes, what? I'm sorry. I fell asleep in my car and I hit the horn. What? And I was like, that's a weird fucking thing to say, man. I've never seen you before. And like that was another part of it for me that like I am friendly with a lot of people in this building. And now some guy is
sleeping in his car.
And I'm like, I've never seen you before. And that's rude. And I want you to apologize for honking your horn at me.
Wow.
I wasn't honking my horn at you. I was like, But a horn was honked at me, and it's your fault, and I need you to say something right now. And then his wife gets out of the passenger side of the car, and I knew his wife. Like, I'd seen her all the time in the apartment. So as soon as I see her, my hackles are down a little bit. I'm like, oh, okay, because she's like, her hands are up like, I'm sorry about him. This is what he's like. And I'm like, oh, it's totally fine. I'm calm now. And then he goes, hey, don't talk to my wife. And then I'm right back into it. And I'm like, I talk to your wife all the time. Not in like a sexual way or anything like that. But like, I don't think the nuance of my tone was clear at the time. So just the phrase, I talk to your wife all the time, I'm sure is not going to cool anyone's temperatures. So now he's walking towards me. And I'm, I guess, ready to like fucking fight a 55-year-old man. Because he's just like this angry guy coming at me. And I still feel like I'm right. And like, it's a free country. It's 2018 at the time. Your wife's allowed to talk to whomever she wants. I talk to your wife every day. We go on walks. We don't go on walks, but like she sees me when I'm walking Jackson. And she's out with her mom. Yeah, I talk to your wife's mom too, buddy. What do you got to say about that? And then eventually, like the, because we're on camera, because it's a building. So security comes down and they just walk out the door and they say, hey, what's going on here? And I'm like, I'm fine. I don't have a problem. And the security guard is just like, okay, let's all go our separate ways. And so we did. And I like, same as you, buzzing the elevator ride up to my apartment, thinking of cooler things that I could have said other than, I talk to your wife all the time.
It's pretty cool, Dan. It's
And then I felt fucking terrible because I was like, was I gonna fight this man? I don't want to fight this man. I don't want to fight anyone.
Right, especially.
I was scared because the horn honked and it startled me.
Yeah, when you think back on like what you almost fought over, you're like, yeah. Oh, okay. All right, I was the bad guy. I see. Yeah. I see.
Luckily, I got to talk to the wife again like a day or so later when I was walking Jackson. I saw her and she was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm very embarrassed. I didn't mean to get angry. I'm not an angry person. I don't yell. I was startled by the horn is all. And please apologize to your husband on my behalf. And she was like, no. It's okay. It's, I won't apologize to him because he won't be happy if he knew that I was talking to you.
Whoa.
Because he doesn't like when I talk to men.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's a whole new layer to it.
Oh, the door just swung open on their house and then shut before you even got like much of a peek inside. That's terrible. You should have fought that guy, I think, now.
Well, I mean, I still know where he lives.
And you said, that means you said the exact right thing to him, too.
I talk to your wife all the time?
For a guy who doesn't want his wife talking to other men, that's like a real, that's, as far as like hurting him, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, unless that manifests in some terrible dark.
For her.
Yeah, yeah. Situation for her.
God, that's a shame.
Yeah. Probably should have left that part out of the story.
It doesn't seem like she's still willing to talk to people out in public, though. It doesn't sound like it's too much of a problem.
Yeah, she didn't say it as, she wasn't like nursing a black eye or anything grim like that. It was more just like, he's an old school kind of idiot.
Yeah. He's that a Mike was Pence type.
The tone that I got.
There's something about when you almost get in a fight, this other part of your brain gets very, very excited at the prospect, even if it's like somebody you could never win a fight against. And now I realize how fights actually happen, because just the prospect of like being in an altercation like that, your mind goes, well, this is exciting and new. Yeah, let's do this. And that's your first instinct. It's not, oh, this is bad. That stuff comes later. Like, you have to really check in with yourself to be like, well, what could be the consequences of this? There's just like this eagerness to gamble when it first starts happening and being like, I could bluff this motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Anyway.
Yeah. It's, I feel like,
not me.
If the security guard hadn't come, I think part of my brain was still thinking like, surely someone will get in between us, right? Because I'm not gonna affect the stance that I learned from the two classes of Aikido I took in 2006, because that would be silly. So like, someone needs to stop this, because I don't know how to fight in real life, and Aikido style, gently redirect this man's energy if he charges at me.
I feel like your best bet for is to just have a plan that will always be, that will always work in a fight, like before the fight starts, where like you know something very specific that you can say that will make the other person back down. What I'm thinking of is like, if you know the name of like a very obscure bone in the ear or like in the forearm or the wrist or something, and you're at the beginning, you're like, look, you might kick my ass, but I want you to know I'm going to break your, and then whatever it is.
Like, right.
And they don't even know what that bone is. And they're like, oh fuck. Yeah. What is that?
I've thought about things like that, like similar to that. I would never commit to like doing stolen valor or anything like that. But sometimes I feel like if someone pulled a gun on me and I was just like, this isn't the first time someone pulled a gun on me, kid, back in Afghanistan or whatever, like just want to drop something that makes it seem like I'm serious and hard and like have been through this before.
I've thought about that too. I've thought about if someone ever broke, so when you own a house, all you ever do is worry about your house. And at night you sit up and listen for sounds. And I thought about if someone ever broke into my house, what I would do. And I thought I would shout at them from my room, I have a gun. I was dishonorably discharged from the military. You should leave right now.
Do you have, you might not want to answer this. Do you have weapons stored about your house?
I have one weapon. I have a, I had a bat. I had like a child's bat because I wanted something, aluminum bat that was very, very small. Because I wanted something to have by my bed as like a precaution. But over time, the grip on it started to crumble away and it started to flake away in these like black dust. So I no longer have that. But I do have my go bag, which is right near my bed, and that has a hatchet in it. And that's a pretty crazy thing to have somebody come at you with, I'd assume.
Yeah.
I want like close contact weapons. You know, I don't want a big wooden bat. Because even though it has that scare appeal, I'm not going to be able to swing that in a way that's going to be helpful in a house.
Yeah.
So I want little things.
I also feel like hatchet sends a real message. Like, it certainly suggests that you know how to use a hatchet.
Yeah, it does. I found when I went and bought the hatchet that Home Depot essentially sells weapons. There's a section where Fisker has all these different things that are... like the pretense is that this is for lawn care, but it's a big machete with like different chunks taken out of it and different new blades poking out in different areas. It looks like a future machete, and they've got serrated stuff that's very, very long and cannot possibly be legal for you to just carry around in your car, I guess, unless it's gardening equipment. And then these hatchets too.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, these other ones seem really fun. I could get one of these. But I scared myself away from anything that legitimately is a weapon when I considered the prospect of buying a gun not that long ago. When I bought my first house, I thought about maybe I should own a gun. And I've been to shooting ranges before. I know how to use a gun. I'm familiar with like gun safety. I thought I get a safe for it. I could have a gun. And then the very first time that I thought I heard something in my house, and I went downstairs to check it out, and it wasn't anything, I scared myself thinking, oh, if I owned a gun, I would be doing this exact same thing, but with a gun in my hand.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want that.
Right. And like, pull that thread. Do I want to shoot someone?
Right.
I don't.
No.
Even though, according to that guy in my garage, I was in Afghanistan. You son of a bitch.
Yeah, you served two tours. Stuff. You don't even want to be here. You don't want to be here. The real me's still there.
I like the hatchet a lot. My dad, who's like a fit person and did karate for a number of years and is like trained in a lot of stuff, always had but never had any cause to use nunchucks in his car, like serious wooden.
I thought you were gonna say throwing like, stars. I thought for sure you were gonna say shuriken.
Nunchucks, like made specifically for him by a person he knew.
Wow.
In his car at all times. And I just think, like, even if I didn't know how to wield nunchucks, I feel like if I was driving and someone like bumped me and there was a road rage incident where they wanted to get out of the car and fight, and they and their hackles were up. I feel like the guy who walks out of his car casually twirling nunchucks is like, "Oh, never mind. You're better at fighting than me. Never. I'm going to get back in my car and I'm going to go away."
I think we both
might
laugh.
No one shows up to a fight with nunchucks half cocked, you know?
I think if I saw somebody, like I rear-ended someone and they got out of their car with nunchucks, I might laugh.
Really?
Yeah, it's so out of place and crazy that I think it might make me chuckle.
Well, then even then, it would diffuse the situation. Yes. You wouldn't want to fight anymore.
Right. I would not. I would be very curious about where they got nunchucks. Can you use those? Let me see. Let me do something.
Do a trick. Do one of those things where it goes like behind and then you catch it with the other hand. Do that.
Nunchucks, I guess I've just never seen anybody really get their ass beat by nunchucks before. And that's maybe why it seems like such a crazy, you might as well be stepping out of your car with a mace.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, what are you doing with that? But yeah, I have that in my house and nowhere else, just by the bed, because it feels like, I don't know, for some reason I feel like I can't be hurt in the light of day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you have something at your house or your apartment?
I have a bat.
Okay. Is it a big one?
No, but it's just like, specifically you go online and you're like, I want a self-defense bat.
Oh.
And it's just like a sturdy wooden, easily wielded bat that I will never have to use.
How long is it?
Knock on wood.
Oh, you're looking at it right now. That's great.
Yeah, but I can't like spot guess lengths of things.
Okay.
Is it as long as your leg? Would it be weird if I said 3 feet? Is that crazy?
Is it as long as your leg?
Man, I don't know.
Oh. Cool.
What a good podcast this is. It's like from the floor to where a standard doorknob goes.
Okay, that's pretty long.
Yeah.
I think that's too long for your apartment, Dan.
Okay.
What you need are like some Nightwing sticks.
Okay.
They like, make those, right? I guess those are police batons.
Yeah. I also feel like if anyone does break into my apartment, I mean, like, I'm already dead. I don't feel like this bat is going to be the thing that saves me.
I have one other question for you regarding it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just regarding... I still want to talk about these weapons. Have you tried swinging it? Like, have you practiced?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
In fact, if someone broke in here and I somehow quickly got to the bat and incapacitated them, and then the police showed up, they would look at the bat and be like, the sticker on this thing is only sort of like half pulled off. And I'd be like, yeah, I was scratching at it when I first got it, and I didn't find purchase with my scratching, trying to peel it off, and so I just sort of left the rest. I'm sorry.
I mean, I've been meaning to soak it in the tub for a while.
Yeah, but I know that's what they say you're supposed to do, but like,
gotta fill the whole tub.
Yeah.
You understand. You're a cop. You get it. I have practiced because that's like in my nature. Not only practiced swinging it, I've also practiced looking menacing with it in a mirror.
Oh, that's so fun. Let's put a pin in that real quick. But when you say practice swinging it, because you've swung a baseball bat before.
Yeah, but with a hatchet. Hatchet's one hand.
Oh, hatchet. Sorry. Yeah. Right. That's hatchet.
And I want to make sure that I could actually do potential damage with it if I had to.
Where are you doing this?
In my shed. In my garage. The back part of my garage has wood in it. And I was like, I wonder how deep I could get this in some wood. Pretty deep, Dan.
That's so funny. And now the practicing in front of the mirror?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, my swinging, I tried a couple different things. I put a piece of wood up on a wall. I was standing in a doorway because my biggest fear is that I don't have enough room to do anything. I'm so scared of the clumsiness of a fight and like how I would have this thing that could very easily become a great weapon for somebody who actually knows how to use it if they get it out of my hands. So like I tried like, how far back do I have to get my arm when this can still be potentially incapacitating? And so like, I'm practiced standing in a doorway, like swinging it from 6 feet, I mean, from 6 inches away at a piece of wood. Be like, oh, okay, okay. That's like that. They're going to bleed. and then I've, in a mirror, I've practiced like my crazy, crazy face and how I would hold it. I wheeled it over my head, you see, because I want the silhouette to for you to be able to see, oh, that's a hatchet. I'm worried that if I keep it in front of me, where I want to keep it, like my natural instinct would be, they're not going to see it. And my main goal is to have them run away before I have to use it.
Yeah. I wonder how many other people use that as a self-defense technique, just like presenting yourself as an intimidating thing, not really wanting to use whatever weapon you have, but just like trying to scare the other person off.
It feels like that's all nature, right? Like every single animal.
Trying to look like I'm bigger than a bear.
Yeah. It feels like it should work. I don't know. But it's so scary. It's not only just owning a house, it's having a house with a family in it. And the prospect of somebody breaking into a house at night where they know people are home, like that's somebody who's looking for something other than to just steal some shit. And yeah. It's so rare. It's like worse. It's more than rare than being struck by lightning, but I'm still like, that's one of the main things. I'm like, I have to be ready for this.
Yeah.
I have to be prepared.
Man. Well, what else?
That's, we could end it there.
I guess we can end it. Yeah. I'm very tickled about, you doing clap push-ups at work. I can't wait till we talk about that in a future episode. I love that, like, this is a perfect encapsulation of our dynamic, that like an out of character thing for you is trying really hard to impress people at work and it not working, and an out of character thing for me is talking to women at restaurants and bars.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do if I saw you suddenly, if we were just like at a bar and you're like, hold on, hang on one second, I gotta go check on something. And you just like went over and started talking to a stranger who was a woman. I'd be like, what the fuck?
I'm gonna track down our social media accounts while we say goodbye, but they're on a high shelf and I need to get my like mini stepladder out.
Just knock them down with that bat.
So while I'm doing that, Soren, we worked together for a long time at comedy website crack.com with a lot of people who were really fantastic. A lot of them have started podcasts in their own right and they're doing very well, and we're happy for every single one of them. And when all of us got laid off, it was a devastating blow. But I was wondering, which of our former coworkers at Crack did you think was least essential and should have gotten laid off?
That's easy. Josh Sargent. He came on late in the game. I feel like he rode the coattails of Cracked a little bit. He tried to sort of emulate the voice of it without ever really nailing it or getting it. He wasn't particularly good at his job. He was very eager to get his fingers on video, but wasn't particularly good on camera or at writing stuff for the camera. And I feel like he could have gone. I feel like he could have gone very early on.
Well, you can find Soren on Twitter at Soren_LTD. You can find our CFO and business guy, Michael, at MakeMeBaconPlease, spelled PLS, on Twitter. You can email the show qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com, which we sometimes check. The show is on Twitter at twitter.com/qq_SorenandDan and Instagram at qq_with_Soren_and_Daniel. You can hire our producer, engineer, editor, swell guy, Gabe at GabeHarder.com. Eventually. We also have a Patreon that you can check out. But, you know, only if you're like a completist and you really need to see every part of the thing.
At this
point,
there's
no content there.
I feel like Gabe's got to take the soon off of get ready. Something really cool is coming soon.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of it I'm all for. I think it's really cool to have a website that just says get ready, something really cool is coming.
Yeah, drop soon.
It's our advice for you, Gabe. Okay, bye.
Bye.